Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, welcome to episode 10 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I am a little frazzled again. That seems to be my state because I am not normally a morning person. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I have to. That's what I have to do to get my son ready for his program. And normally I'm just sort of like, you know, off in my own world doing a little thing on the internet. Maybe I do a little writing, but this show is such a challenge for me getting here at 9 o'clock and having something interesting and coherent to say. I hope it's interesting and coherent anyway. And today I live across the street from a junior high and they are doing a graduation ceremony or a rehearsal. So you might hear some da, na, 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 in the background. Or a listing of names. They were doing that all yesterday while they were practicing. And it just echoes through my whole house. And I can't seem to get them to turn the loudspeaker down. So that might happen. Anyway, I was in Big Sur last week, which is why there was no Hippie Witch episode. And while I was up there, I was thinking a lot about how awesome it would be to host retreats in the forest there at Fernwood specifically, which is wall-to-wall redwood trees and punctuated on either side by the Pacific Ocean and the most beautiful river. And I mean, if you can't get your spiritual groove on in Big Sur, you probably can't get it on anywhere, which is why I go every year, at least once a year, I try to get up there. Anyway, while the hubs and I were hiking around one day, we stumbled upon what appeared to be an abandoned campground with picnic tables and barbecues, a public bathroom, plenty of room for camping. And the Piece de la Resistance was a beautiful outdoor amphitheater surrounded by the most gorgeous redwood trees. And it also had a groovy rock fire pit off to the side of the stage, which was really just, the stage was just a raised patch of dirt walled off with a bit of river rock and surrounded by these redwood trees. And I'd been tossing around the idea of a retreat, like a spiritual retreat, in the back of my mind for a while. And I was wondering how one might go about setting something like that up when I came across this amphitheater in the forest and the ball really got rolling in my mind. And what's weird, I brought my flip camera up to Big Sur with me. And which you might know, I don't know if you watch my Major Arcana TV YouTube channel, but you may have seen me that I just posted my Big Sur video. And I was talking about kind of daydreaming and fantasizing about having a retreat up in the woods. And then that very day, like 30, 40 minutes later, I ran into this amphitheater. So maybe it was a sign. I don't know. And it really got the ball rolling in my mind. Although it hasn't rolled that far because I still have no idea how to get from here to there or how to do something like that in a way that is cost effective for the attendees while being financially worthwhile for me and whatever effort putting something like that together would require. I have no idea how to do that yet. But it is something that's just been bouncing around on the horizon of my thoughts, and who knows, I may surprise myself by just jumping in to that arena one of these days. One thing's for sure, though, when that day comes, I won't be billing myself as a guru or a master of anything. I am just a person who overcame a bunch of personal problems, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, lots of fear, and, you know, social phobias and stuff. And I'm just excited about sharing all of the little tips and tricks that worked for me, which is a key point to make here. They worked for me. they may not work for you in quite the same way, or maybe at all, which is why it's so great that so many people are sharing this kind of information these days. If you want to learn about psychology, nutrition, spirituality, anything like that, it's really all just one click away. But something about that has been bugging me lately, and I really got to thinking about that on my walk through the forest in Big Sur. I was thinking about gurus specifically and how the internet has really lent itself, for better or worse, to the creation of so many of these so-called gurus, and how many of these people charge their devoted followers an arm and a leg to attend their various seminars and workshops and retreats. And I mean, maybe they aren't even doing anything wrong in charging those prices, and those prices are just par for the course once you've reached a certain level of success. But I can't help noticing that the people who seem to be charging the most have billed themselves as being healers and as being particularly enlightened. You see this a lot on YouTube, even beyond the money. Like, just take that out of the equation. Just people with massive followings, people who claim to be almost superhuman, whether claiming to be messengers from the Pleiadians, indigo or crystal children, channels of the ascended masters, or light workers who have the ability to see and read your energy beyond what you're able to do. Maybe they are all these things, and there are plenty of light workers, channelers, and indigo children out there who I find humble and endearing, but when these claims are used to push an agenda or underscore someone's superiority, it's just a big red flag for me, and I see a lot of that going on. And I'm not saying that all gurus are money-grabbing fame whores. I'm just trying to point out that that kind of a claim, even in the spiritual realms, can really feed the ego of the so-called guru and lead to all kinds of unfortunate havoc within the community that surrounds them. Even tragedy like the Jim Jones massacre in Guyana, which I did my 7th grade report on, maybe it was 8th grade, I did a report in junior high on that, and I was just mesmerized. I read this big book about what happened, and then I watched, I don't know if it was a made-for-TV movie or whatever, but I was just shocked by that, especially being raised in such a religious upbringing. And there's, you know, any number of mass suicides that have been led by charismatic spiritual leaders. And you can see more subtle versions of this today in people who become obsessed with spiritually combating an evil lizard race that has disguised itself in the world's power elite. You see a ton of that on YouTube, and people just fully believe it. I don't. I'm just going to say right now, I don't believe that the world's power elite is some secret force of lizard people that are trying to take over the planet and suck our spirits dry. You'll also see people who are essentially starving themselves in the name of getting cleaner and cleaner and purer, you know, they get high on this cleansing and cleansing and cleansing and cleansing and eating less and less, or maybe just one specific kind of food until they have reached the enlightened state of being in which they can survive on breath and sunlight alone. Like, that's like the ultimate state of being. And I know I probably sound super snarky and over affected here, but this is just something that has become a bit of a personal issue for me. Ever since I interviewed Teal Scott for Every Which Way, all kinds of characters have climbed out of the woodwork to contact me about themselves. They want me to interview them because they are channeling God or they have ascended to the next level. And honestly, the vibes that I get from many of these people are not good. There's an almost vampiric feeling that I get from them, and you'd be surprised by the ruthlessness that some of them pushed their whole spiel on me. And I also, that Teal Scott video, it also just brought a lot of interesting comments my way from the followers, and it really lended itself, you know, to this conversation right now, and, you know, the thoughts that led up to it, just people just being like, well, Teal says this, and we're supposed to do that. And this, I don't mean any offense to Teal Scott. I think she's great, or I wouldn't have interviewed her on my show. It's just brought all of these people to me that have made me, like, realize, like, wow, there is just, there's just a lot of hardcore, I don't even know, I'm, like, watching my nerves, my words carefully, because I don't want to offend anybody. But sometimes people just give up all their power to these gurus. And then, like I said, on the flip side, I have some interesting characters contacting me and telling me that I need to interview them, you know, for my show. And I assure you that I am always polite and super kind, but if I express any disinterest or, you know, dare decline their offers, they will often get very aggressive and end up betraying, you know, the oh-so-enlightened facade that they project in their books and videos that they want me to help promote. And really, it just says so much that they would even invest that kind of energy in me because, you know, based on one interview I did with someone that they deem important, because if they take the time to check out my other videos and my blog, they would see that I am really small potatoes in comparison and have no real power to further their career or message, as they like to put it. And it's as though some of these people are going after guru status with all the fervor of like a presidential election, which again just reiterates the fact that spiritually minded people are not immune to the excesses of ego. And you've probably heard yourself of religious leaders who abuse their power by sexually imposing themselves on their most vulnerable followers, and it's pretty plain to see that many TV evangelists have lost themselves in an almost comical application of plastic surgery and big gaudy mansions. Dr. Joe Vitale is Vitale. He's one of the authors who became famous after being featured in The Secret, and he tells his personal story about how his guru and trusted counselor so many years ended up betraying him and actually molested a dear friend of his, and then wound up going into hiding for the sheer humiliation of it all. And really, stories like that, however common, are at the far end of the spectrum for sure. And what's a lot more common is just this loss of self, a kind of giving up of one's power to an outside authority. And sadly, that also means for some people giving up a whole lot of money. And who's to say? Maybe that's just part of their path and what they're here to learn. And I guess I am being judgmental. I don't want to say I'm not being judgmental, but I really mean this as is just a warning. I'm not trying to be judgmental or make fun of anybody. I just want to point out that there's a lot of this going on right now on the internet, and it concerns me. And I hope that if you're a person that listens to my show, that you are not succumbing to this kind of mass brainwashing that I see going on. And the word guru is actually a Sanskrit term for teacher or master, and I wholeheartedly believe that learning from teachers and masters can lead to all kinds of eye-opening and heart-expanding epiphanies. And I don't mean to bash the word guru. I know many people have worked with some amazing gurus and learned awesome things from them, and they love them dearly. So maybe I'm just talking about a certain kind of person who deems themselves to be a guru. And they may even be enlightened, you know, to some degree. A lot of these people know about what they're talking about. It just starts to kind of run amok, I think, in their own minds, and they start to believe their own hype. And not all of them do that, for sure. A great teacher can be an invaluable guide in teaching you how to access your own power. They can teach you certain technologies like meditation, visualization, or ways to tap into spiritual guidance yourself. They can also reflect your BS back at you, helping to illuminate your blind spots. But everything you need to heal, everything you need to reach, you know, the so-called place of enlightenment, you have within, and you do not need a middleman to contact God or to access the spiritual truths that are available to us all. No one can do your work for you. A talented guru, pastor, coach can make an excellent guide or teacher, but that's where their power ends and yours begins. Seriously, you are the person that you have been waiting for. And maybe you've not yet embodied the kind of spiritual presence that you are seeking in another. But if that is something that you are truly longing for, then that is your sign to get on that path and start walking. That person you are admiring is a guidepost. And what's really cool is that whatever qualities you are admiring in them, you already possess somewhere deep inside. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be able to recognize them in the other person. So there, that's another beautiful gift that a guru can give you. They can act as a mirror and help you to see the strength you hold within. So maybe the next time you see something that you feel strongly attracted to in another person, admire it by all means. Even sign up for their course or program that promises to help you develop that asset yourself. Go to their retreat in the woods in Big Sur. But you could also just go within to see if you can find ways in which you are already demonstrating that quality or ways that you would like to start demonstrating it, and then start from there. Start nurturing that quality from whatever spark or seed already exists. And really, this is illustrated so well at the end of The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy, who's been looking through the bulk of the movie or the book, she's been looking for someone that can help her get back home and get back to the people she loves. And then at the very end, when all hope is gone and it looks like, you know, the wizard, he was a false guru. He couldn't really do what he said, and she had invested all this hope in this guru that she thought was going to get her back home. That is when Glinda, the good witch, comes and tells her that she had the power within all along. And she does, and she gets to go home. It's such a good spiritual teaching. She always had the power, and you always have a power. There's an old Buddhist saying that goes something like, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him, which is basically just a shocking way of saying that you aren't meant to worship Buddha, but rather to take the essence of his teachings and learn from them, to find your own version of enlightenment. And I also suspect that this is what the Bible was getting at when it was talking about idol worship, although that's not the way it was presented to me back in the day. But that's what I'm thinking that, they were talking about in the Bible, about worshiping idols before it got turned around into don't be a pagan or whatever it's used to represent today. Michael Bernard Beckwith is the founder of Agape, which is this really cool church. They bill it as like a trans-denominational spiritual center, but it's a church. It's a great place for a person like me to go to church because it is non-denominational, really, in a real sense of the word. You could even be an atheist and go to that church. And as Michael Bernard Beckwith often says, you don't even have to believe in God as an anthropomorphized figure to tap into the spiritual thing that we all have within. And he will often say that it's about your practice, and it's about you, and it's not about imposing that on him as a guru. And I was listening to him this morning. Hay House Publishing is doing this whole, I forget what it's called. Just go to Hay House and you can find it. Sorry, I didn't look that up for you guys. But they're doing this whole online seminar with all of the Hay House authors. If you like Hay House, you will love this. But you can only listen to each speaker for free for 24 hours. And I saw this morning when I woke up that I still had like a little bit of time to listen to Michael Bernard Beckwith before his expired and they moved on to today's speakers. So I listened to his hour, however long you get with each speaker, and he actually said something that I thought, you know, was kind of fitting for what I wanted to talk about today. So I wrote it down, and this is what he said about people that, well, here, just let me tell you what he said. He said, you don't have to believe in anything, but if you practice something, then the proof is in the pudding. I believe in people having direct experience rather than simply believing something. Believing something because I say it or anyone says it. I say have a level of practice. Do your spiritual technology and then watch what happens. And then you can go beyond belief. You can enter into an embodiment. I love that. You can go beyond belief and enter into an embodiment. You can embody God, enlightenment, spirituality. You don't have to believe in any religion or follow any guru to find your own bliss and your own path to enlightenment. You can, through daily practice and awareness, be your own guru. And that is my message today. Again, this is just going to be a short show. There's no resource list back on the Blog Talk Radio page like I usually do, because today I was just kind of venting about something that's been on my mind. There are no resources. But I definitely recommend going to the Hay House. I wish I could remember the name of it. I'm so sorry. Here, I'm on my computer right now. Let me go look for you since I've got a little bit of time to kill. Hay House World Summit. Go to the Hay House World Summit. You can buy, I think it's like $200 to get all of the recordings if you want to, you know, own them for all time, or if you miss them and you really wanted to hear them. But if you want to listen for free, you can, and they do like a handful of speakers every day. Here, I'll tell you who's speaking today that you can go and listen to for free. James von Prague, Speaking to the Spirit World, George Cruz, Sandra Ann Taylor, Mastin Kipp, love Mastin Kipp of the Daily Love, he's awesome, Colette Baron-Reed, Lynn McTaggart, she's super cool, she did the intention experiment for those Law of Attraction practitioners out there, you might know who she is, Alex Woodard, Donna Gates. Ooh, I will definitely be listening to Donna Gates. She is the author of The Body Ecology Diet, which is something that I definitely pull from for Sad to Sexy. It's all about healing your gut. So Donna Gates, she's awesome. Look that up if you're interested in healing your gut. And let me just say that's about curing yourself from all kinds of autoimmune disorders and weird skin rashes, candida. It can help a lot with autism, all kinds of mood disorders. So that's what healing your gut can do for you. And probiotics is really the way to that. And then the other three people I have never heard of, Gary Gavin or Jerry Gavin, Down to Earth Angelic Advice for the World, Noah St. John, Giving Yourself Permission to, oh, this is a funny typo, Permission to Succeed. I think that should just be Permission to Succeed. And then Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche. I am sure I just screwed that name up royally. He teaches groundedness, confidence, and inner peace, the spiritually centered life. Yeah. So go check that out. I love Louise Hay, love Hay House and all their authors. So if you need something to do today, and I think, I don't know how long it's running. They're on day 4 already, and I think it's going just for the length of this week. So hop on over, and I will see you next Tuesday. I don't have a topic yet. I am open to hearing what you would like to hear me talk about or discuss, or if you have any questions. And until then, much love. Peace.